A little bit of a backstory. I was born in Zimbabwe to a super strict African family, obviously Zimbabwe. My father was a pastor. So what it looked like growing up in a household for me, we prayed every single day. It was about an hour every single day. My father would make us get up in front of the family and do our repentance for the day. And then he would preach for like 45 minutes and then we would have to contribute. And that's the environment that I grew up in. I was told, like, if you had premarital sex, you're going to hell. If you sinned, you're going to hell. If you're gay, you're definitely fucked. And so that's what I grew up with. But I had a relationship with that God. That was my father's God. And that he was a very punitive God. And I didn't like that. But for the rest of it, I kind of was like, okay. Around the time that I was like 11, I always felt like I had this like hole in my body, in my soul, whatever you want to call it. And I would just say like, oh, like I'm this like super depressed 11-year-old kid. But if you ever encountered me, you would never know it. I was always smiling. I always had this mask on my face because I was taught that in my house, everything always has to be okay. And we're supposed to be this like perfect knit family. So when I was outside, I presented the same thing, but inside I was fucking miserable. The first time I had an alcoholic drink, my uncle, about 62 years old, purchased me a bottle of Smirnoff for three of my friends, and immediately, I'm in my head like, how the fuck are we going to share all of this? It's a big bottle, but in my head, I'm like, damn, is this enough? And, you know, we drank that whole bottle. I remember I had to throw up. I went to the bathroom, I threw up, and I came back like nothing ever happened. And that's how I continued drinking. No one ever knew that I was throwing up. No one ever knew I was like overly fucked up, except for that like 3-month period when I blacked out like every single day. Aside from that, I held it together. I'm not going to get too deep in my horror stories, but I'll share a couple with you just to qualify. So the same uncle who bought me that first bottle of alcohol, who was like 62 years old, took my virginity when I was 14. So I equated sex, alcohol, and the ability to say no. They were synonymous to me. And so by the time I got to college, I had been gang raped multiple times. I was angry. I was hurt. I was broken. But I had to pretend like everything was okay. And the only way that I could live through that pain, the only way that I could live through that confusion was to drink. And I could drink all of y'all under the table. I prided myself in that. I taught all my friends freshman year how to drink. I also worked full-time since I was in high school, so I could, like, supply the alcohol, too, because nobody else could buy alcohol. So I wanted everyone to drink just like I drink. So, hey, I bought a lot of alcohol. 3 years into my time in college, I think that's when it like really hit me. I hit a serious bottom. I was drinking every single day. And that God-sized hole, I tried to fill it with anything possible. Alcohol, sex with men, sex with women, drugs, mostly alcohol though. Mostly alcohol. And it worked. It worked. Every time I drank, I didn't feel that feeling that I felt inside. So that became my solution every single day. And my senior year in college, I failed completely. I mean, F's down the board. I got really drunk and almost passed out on a plane once, and there almost had to be an emergency landing. So that was pretty embarrassing, like getting off a plane, there was like a fire department just like waiting, and I had to tell my mom, like, I just didn't drink enough water. At my graduation, Barack Obama spoke at my graduation, and I don't remember shit because I was asleep. And I didn't remember that until after I got sober. And so when I graduated from college, I ran away from D.C. within 2 weeks. And I was just like, okay, I get it. I have a problem. I just need to slow things down. I've graduated. I can get my life together. Let's just slow down the drinking. We're just not going to drink liquor. And I stopped drinking liquor, and I just started drinking wine. I was like, white wine, it gives me headaches. I started drinking red wine. Red wine gets me too lit. I'm just going to drink IPAs. IPAs get me fucked up. So I would drink like Bud Lights and Miller Lights because they're a light beer. And I would wake up in the middle of the night like, damn, how did we get here? Like, I'm still just as messed up. And towards the end of my drinking, I ended up just drinking like, what do you call those, like 40s? Because they would just go right through me, you know? So I was like, oh, this is good, you know, because you don't get as messed up. So the last year of my drinking was done in a lot of isolation. I was broken. That's the only word that I have for it. Mentally, spiritually, physically. And I was dating someone at the time who mentioned, they were like, damn, you've been getting twisted lately. And that line, that sentence put the fear of God into me, because that's the first time that anyone had ever said anything to me about my drinking. And I was caught. And in that moment, I just was like, can you take me to a meeting? Because she was in the program at the time. And I sat in my car for about 15 minutes, and I fucking cried. I mourned because I was losing my best friend. That's what it felt like. And I got into that meeting, and it was one of those meetings where you stand up in the front if you want to speak. And I got on the podium, and I said something along the lines of, for about 3 minutes straight, and they were like, yeah, keep coming back. I was willing to do anything. I was willing to do anything at that time. And it was suggested to me, like, hey, if you want to figure out you're an alcoholic, go to 90 meetings in 90 days. I was like, all right. So I just started going to a shit ton of meetings every single day. I made it to a meeting 2 times if I really felt like I needed to go to a meeting. Someone suggested, get a sponsor. I got a sponsor. Get a commitment. I got a commitment. Get a home group. I got a home group. Work those steps. I started working those steps. And that's all I did. I just took suggestions, because everything that I knew up until the time I got sober had gotten me to where I was. And that shit didn't work. Before I got sober, the only solution that I had left was to kill myself. And, you know, I thank God for this higher power that I have today, because I think that it was working for me even before I even knew it, you know. And I'm alive today because of that. And I was able to find a higher power of my own understanding, because growing up, I had an understanding of my father's higher power, and his higher power is punitive, and his higher power tells me that I'm going to go to hell and that you're going to go to hell. And I don't agree with that, you know. And today I have a higher power of my own understanding, and she's a woman, and I get to do business with this higher power. And when I am in fear, when I am depressed, when I am angry, I have my bitch buddies, which are my girls, that I can call and vent to. I have a sponsor who I can check in with. I have every single one of you in this room and all the tools that you put into my toolbox, that when I start to panic, I can open that toolbox and just like look at one thing and be like, oh yeah, we got this. It's been amazing. And a year ago, if you blinked at me the wrong way, I was fucking drinking. You know, if I was happy, I was drinking. If I was angry, I was drinking. And in the last year, so much has happened. I lost a job that I absolutely hated, and I was still sober. I got out of an extremely toxic relationship with a woman that I thought I was going to marry. I lost both of my grandparents. My mom has had multiple surgeries. My mom has been diagnosed with breast cancer. I mean, so much has happened. And I've walked through all of that with grace because of this program, because of all the people that surround me on a daily basis, because of everything that I read in this book, and most importantly, because of these steps, you know. And I'm just going to read this little bit here in a vision for you, where it says, abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. And this is what I do, you know, and this is what works for me. And for anyone who's new or who's old or whatever, just take suggestions. That's the advice that I was given, and it's worked for me. And I don't know if it's working the steps. I don't know if it's having a sponsor. I don't know if it's going to meetings. I don't know if it's having commitments. I don't know which one works. So I just choose to continue doing all of them, because they're working for me. And that, you know, that's enough for me. And I made a year sober yesterday. Like, what? I remember when I got 2 weeks sober, I had a panic attack in my car because I was like, fuck, I can't drink ever again. Like, what about when I get married? And like, not even thinking like, I just married the person that I want to spend the rest of my time, like my life with. I'm thinking about like, I can't even have a drink. Like, how are we going to have sex? Like, what? But today I get to do stuff. Like, I get to go on trips out of town with my friends and I get to party and I get to go to the club, y'all. Sober. And I'm usually the most lit person in the room. So if you want to go out, if you want to have some good sober fun, hit me up. Is that my time? All right. Thank you, guys.